Back in 1987, the former Prime Minister Bob Hawke vowed to end child poverty by 1990. Now the number of Australian children living in poverty is growing. Nearly 20% of kids don't have enough clothing or food. It's been revealed recently that more than one in five children in this country has gone an entire day without something fresh to eat in the past. That's over the past year. Single parent families are most at risk, and support groups say millions of dollars in unpaid child support is a key factor in this. They say it's time for the federal government to step up and acknowledge this crisis, arguing the upcoming federal budget in just under a fortnight is an important opportunity to make change. Stephanie Smale has more.
3 decades ago, then Prime Minister Bob Hawke made a promise.
At the head of these goals is the future of our children. So we set ourselves this first goal. By 1990, no Australian child will be living in poverty.
Cassandra Goldie from the Australian Council of Social Service says his policies reduced child poverty by 30%. But she says no Prime Minister has given the issue top priority since.
We cannot understand why the Prime Minister of the day does not spend every waking moment thinking about what he or she can do to ensure that every child has enough food and a safe roof over their head. In the last 10 years, we've seen an increase in child poverty rates by 2 percentage points. Now there is 1 in 6 children living below the poverty line. And it's a choice that governments are making to allow this to continue.
She argues the coalition needs to take a long, hard look at its cuts to welfare payments if it wants to protect Australian children.
We are urging the government to change tack here. It cannot pursue so-called budget repair off the back of the lowest income families and children in Australia. This is the direction it's been taking since it came into government, and it has to stop.
A recent food bank survey revealed just how bad things have become for some children. More than 10% have gone to bed without dinner in the past year, and 9% went a whole day without eating at all. Therese Edwards from the National Council for Single Mothers and Children says single parent families are doing it tough. She says they've been hit hard in the past few budgets, particularly with the decision to stop the sole parent payment for children over 8 years of age. She argues there's been no review of that policy's impact on children.
When we were arguing and advocating and engaging with the federal government trying to stop that policy, there was a commitment to evaluate that harm. However, there was a change in government and there has been no evaluation.
Therese Edwards points out unpaid child support is another major issue that's being ignored and could provide much-needed money for struggling families. She says nearly 90% of child support recipients are female. She's urging the federal government to redirect its efforts to recoup welfare overpayments and instead track down the $1.5 billion in missing child support.
There is over 400,000 customers in the child support system who have not lodged their tax return, because that's a pathway into avoiding and minimising tax and subsequently avoiding and minimising child support. So we're seeing the government really stepping in and making a statement about collecting overpayments, but we're seeing no action where child support is owed to a family.
Associate Professor Kay Cook from Swinburne University is researching why women give up pursuing child support. She says about 20% of Australians rely on financial support from an ex-partner, but she argues the system is designed to benefit Centrelink and the payer, not the payee.
The recipient family who needs government assistance because they're on a very low income, first of all, they're not getting that child support income. Then that income that they never received is then counted as income that reduces their family tax benefits. They're losing out twice. And at the same time, if they're someone who lives in state housing, their state housing is calculated as a percentage of their total income, which again uses child support in that calculation. So they're losing out three times for no fault of their own because their ex-partner isn't paying the amount of child support that they're supposed to be paying.
But Kay Cook says just under half of the people who owe child support pay through the Federal Child Support Agency. The rest are transferring payments privately, so there's no accurate account of what is and isn't paid, and that $1.5 billion debt could be much bigger. Associate Professor Cook says that leaves children without financial support and the parent who's supposed to be paying without punishment.
Australia's moved down this path of trying to keep payers happy, and the happier that payers are and happier that separated families are, the more likely money is to flow, is the theory. So they've set up this system where the government's essentially out of the picture from the payer's perspective and can transfer that money privately on their terms. But then the government has no oversight of what's actually happening. But at the same time, from the recipient's perspective, the government is heavily involved in that transfer, so using that child support as income in benefit calculations for Centrelink.
A spokeswoman for the support group the Men's Rights Agency argues the child support agency already has wide-ranging powers and there's no opportunity for men to avoid payments. She says most men try to provide for their children, but many struggle to find the money. Kay Cook says single parents who need to chase money often give up and make do with what they have.
Pretty much they take the mentality of, I just don't want to make waves. I'd rather just miss out on the money, do what I can with the money I receive and try and get by on my own.
In a statement, a Department of Human Services spokesperson told RN Breakfast a range of measures are enforced to collect child support, including employer deductions, intercepting tax refunds and taking legal action. The spokesperson says in 2016-17, the department worked with separated parents to facilitate the transfer of $3.5 billion to support about 1.2 million children. In a response to RN Breakfast's questions on child support payments and a request for an interview, the Federal Minister for Social Services, Dan Tehan, provided a brief statement. He says the government has a number of existing programs that target parents who do not meet or deliberately seek to minimise their child support payments.
That's Stephanie Smale reporting.